everybody, and welcome to the Theatre Bitch podcast. My name is Jem, this is Joe.
Hiya.
And this is Sean.
I've got an itchy ear.
You've got an itchy what?
Hello. I've got an itchy ear. That's why I was scratching it. Hello, I'm here, and my ear is no longer scratching. Hello, Gemma. Hello, Joe. Should we podcast?
Yes, yeah. Let's podcast. Shall we do it all in rhyme? No, I think Sean should just do it all in rhyme. but welcome everybody who's listening and anybody who's watching to the Theatre Pitch podcast. This is the podcast where each of us take a random online encyclopedia article, the same article, and each of us pitch how we would turn that into a theatre show. And then after we've pitched that, we turn around and we smush it all together in a haphazardly way to try and collaborate. So this week's article, Joe, do you want to introduce us to this sparse article? I'm gonna say sparse.
Well, because you said sparse, I'm gonna just go ahead and read them the full kind of article main body text itself. This week we are talking about Chakil, also known as Oblivnoi, is an uninhabited island off the Bay of Baku, Azerbaijan. The island is part of the Baku Archipelago, which consists of the following islands: Boyukjira, Dashjira, Kum Island or Pishani, Zembil, Sangi Mugan, Chikil, Karasu, Karajira, Gil, Ignat Dash, and a few smaller ones. Chikil's surrounding waters are very shallow. There is little vegetation on the island due to oil pollution as well as other factors. Caspian seals, sturgeons, and numerous types of birds like teal ducks, herring gulls, and grebes are some of the island species that can be found on and around the island.
Wow. So sparse.
It's the whole article that was just read out for anybody who can't be bothered to pull it up on their phones.
Well, except for there's also two other facts I didn't mention, which is the total area of the island is 0.2 square miles, and it's at an elevation of 82 feet.
Cool. So it really is a footprint. Cool. In the middle of some water that's covered in oil. Before I ask you guys how you found that, I have to say, Joe, because you did it last week and you've done it this week, do you sit and practice how to say all of these foreign place names?
Because I'm sorry, someone just asked Joe if he practices. Are we serious?
Honestly, I just say them with confidence and hope no one calls me out.
Confidence and a bit of an accent. Like, swap the G's out for a zh, and you've
I just allow you lot to assume that because of how many assorted European countries my ancestors come from, that I can probably pronounce these things. Whereas I've definitely got most of them wrong.
Fair enough. Well, if anybody is listening or watching and actually knows the true pronunciation of any of those places, slaughter Joe in the comments. But until then, how did you guys find this article?
Well, I was just going to say on that note, I found out thanks to a YouTube ad this week. Did you know the shop CEX is actually pronounced sex?
No.
It was in one of their ads. They announced it saying, come down to sex. And I'm just like, you can't be called that, lads. Come on.
Do you think anybody realised?
They have CEX in Azerbaijan.
I don't know. Maybe that's what your play's about. Let's find out. Sean, did you find it all right?
Yeah.
That's the sound of Sean going first. Joe, how did you find it?
I don't know. Ask me when I've got an idea.
Okay, so I'm going last because I have an idea and I quite enjoyed it.
I think we should go in the order of I'm gonna mix this up now. We're gonna do okay. I'm gonna select an article that's related to all of us, and we're gonna go in that order. So I think we should go in the order of our degree grades. So did anybody get a first?
I think Sean's gonna be shocked that I didn't.
Okay, is this where we find out we all got 2-1s?
Did we all get a 2-1? Yeah.
Okay. I was very close to a first, but I got a 2-1.
Oh, well, that I didn't die to death.
Right.
let's go youngest to oldest.
No, let's go oldest to youngest.
No, let's go who's
you know
the
what?
Furthest. I'll let's go. No, let's go who's the furthest away from their next birthday.
You know what? Do you want me just to go first, Sean?
I'll go second.
And I can just see what happens.
I think we should, like, Sean, like, I'm seeing, Sean, you've got beautiful black hair, like the oil slicks of the island, so you should go first.
I'm not sure if that started off as a really nice sentence, but it really, like...
I'm trying to...
It really, like, died a death towards the end there, didn't it?
I'm trying to illustrate that not only is Joe the better improviser, but this is what happens when you start a sentence and you're like, I have a half-formed idea.
That's how Joe lives his life.
Yeah, I think half-formed is a bit of an overestimation of my abilities.
It's just my bad.
Mostly...
Right, I'll go first. I ain't scared no ghost. I'll go first. Oh, crap. My other computer screen turned off as I was like, yeah, I'm... Yeah, okay, hi. Hi.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hi.
You ready for a weird... I don't... Okay, right. So, Azerbaijan. Yep.
Okay.
What do we know of Azerbaijan? What do we know of Baku?
Well...
Anyone?
Okay, can I make a guess about what's about to come up? Are you going to mention here... the football team Azerbaijan.
No, I'm not going to mention them. Not going to mention them. That's no.
Are you going to mention the pending lawsuit against Azerbaijan?
No, I don't. I think that team stopped getting messages from people. This has got. I can't risk it. I can't risk a no.
You can tell us after.
Okay. What Joe's referencing is that at university, my football team. But I'm not quite sure why, was called Azerbaijan, and we played in the colours of Azerbaijan, but it was called Azerbaijan because we were in Aberystwyth.
It's a funny joke. I think we can all agree.
I mean, it's
top quality
it's,
pun.
I don't think it's funny or a joke, but pun, yes.
All right, Gemma. Well, you know what? I didn't pick the name. I just played centre-back, and I think I've done all right.
Hey, okay. If you'd have picked the name, it would have been funny and or a joke.
Yeah, I mean, there were better names. Okay, this is derailed. Right.
Sean's ability to take a compliment
Baku.
Is so great.
Baku.
Yes, Baku.
Famously, it's a racetrack. Anyone famously? They turned the streets of Baku into a racetrack for Formula One.
Somehow no. I've forgotten this, and I'm pretty sure you mentioned this last episode
okay.
as well.
Yeah, you mentioned
so
this.
Think racetrack. Okay, so there's racing.
Okay.
My thing is based around racing.
Oh, no.
Right?
Oh, no.
No. I promise you that there's going to be no Starlight Express references.
Oh, thank goodness.
I promise you. Because I won't lie to you. I did go down this route and then realised quite late in that I had remade Starlight Express. I just hadn't put rollerblades on them yet. And I was like, no, start again. Right. So this is my idea. It's a kid's show, guys. It's a kid's show. And I'm basically, my characters are these animals that it says lives
there. Oh, no.
Loads of different birds. We've got some seals. Yeah. The main seal is my main character. And the idea is it's going to be a biggish puppet show. And it's, as you know, and it's puppets of the animals. And they all have a car, right? And I'm basically creating the Wacky Racers TV show with puppets on stage. And the story is that they're racing. Each bit is a race, and it's a championship, and there's a different racetrack on each of the islands that this is near, and that's it. So think the film Rush, think that film,
yeah,
where we've got the main seal up against a duck, why not, and it's the story of like. These two great racers going up against each other on different tracks on different islands, and they're puppets. And the way it is, the way happens on stage, the way it visually happens on stage, the race, is, you know, when you go to a fairground and you see, like, it's like a, it's sometimes a greyhound race, and you throw the balls up, and when you get the ball in the hole, a little greyhound goes across a little bit. Mm-hmm. Has anybody seen them? I'm not crazy. They're
no, things. You're right.
That's visually what the races are going to look like. Okay, so it's going to be like, hey, he's going here, and then it's like, whoa. That's my idea. It's wacky races with seals and ducks as puppets on the different islands near Baku.
Okay.
That's why I didn't want to go first.
I'm really annoyed at you in some way, but we'll find out why later.
So, Gem, do you have any questions?
It's all about Baku, isn't it? It's not really... What's the name of the island?
It's not about Baku. Chickil. It's not about Baku. It had the different racetracks on the islands around that are mentioned on this sparse Wikipedia page.
Okay. All right.
And then the main one, we could have like a whole championship where it's really close and it all comes down to like the last race. Because you know how people get
on the passionate. 0.2 miles.
People get so passionate about championships that go all the way to the last race. And it goes down to that. And the seal and the duck race until the end.
Okay. Cool.
It's not my best, is it?
I mean, it's not Starlight Express.
It could have been.
Yeah,
it's so close.
I'm very proud of you for not going down that route.
Yeah. Well done.
Gotta be honest, I feel like the idea, it has everything there. There's no real interrogation needed for it, is there?
Okay, cool. I just want to point out, if I hadn't rinsed the Starlight Express reference over the course of 2 seasons, I was definitely going to recreate Starlight Express.
Yeah.
With ducks.
Shall I go next?
Well, you know, we do want to save the best for last, so yeah.
Yeah. Well, considering you're improvising, you might want to run with a joke that seems to be forming. So, I wanted to do a kids show too. Yay! I'm so mad that you were like, oh, let's do a kids show. Where it stars all of the animals in the article. But
sorry, I just have to quickly go and rewrite my idea.
But what happens to the animals in my story is I really wanted to focus in on this idea that essentially they're saying that this island is just covered in oil. It's uninhabitable, barring a few of these animals. And I wanted to explore those themes with kids of perseverance, despite difficult circumstances, but also the idea that difficult circumstances can be put onto you. Like, the oil didn't just naturally occur. If it did, then great, there is something that scientists aren't telling us too much about, but mainly we can assume that it's a man-made oil slick that has destroyed this island. So what I wanted to do, and this might seem untoward, is I wanted to take a group of kids, aka my audience, to a warehouse. And I want the show to be set in a warehouse, essentially a big, dark space.
Sorry, Gemma, I'm just thinking about how I could edit and isolate that one sentence.
Yeah, we've got the trailer for, like, series 3 sorted now.
Gem, it's just rehash it into a horror podcast. But I was really drawing on this idea of the oil slicks and, you know, if you look at photos of beautiful environments that have been destroyed by oil slicks, it is this really, it's this dark space. Essentially, this could be played in a black box theatre, but I kind of want to, as adults, we think warehouses and where warehouses are situated, that's not a place for kids, right? That's not a place for innocence and beauty and these wonderful spirits. Just as, you know, an oil-torn place is it should not exist. It should not be something that taints the innocence of nature. But essentially, it's this idea that the kids come into to this space and they encounter through puppets. They encounter these characters, and the kids have to go on an adventure with these characters to learn about how they've and discover how they've adapted to living in this oil-ridden environment. But then also potentially, I was thinking kind of along the lines of like an interactive show where the kids, you know how you can get those big black balloons, whether that like in certain lights they look kind of oil slicky. I was like, well, if we do it so the kids have to collect the balloons and they help things like that, and then that can also give us the experience of talking about cleaning up oil slicks and what was versus what is, and kind of think something like that. Those were the ideas I was playing with. I didn't quite get to the point where I was like, this is the actual story arc, act 1, 2, and 3, but very much that it's an interactive performance dealing with this idea of perseverance and the destruction of nature through oil slicks, led by puppets of the animals mentioned in the article, and set in a warehouse just to freak people out and give Sean the soundbite that will one day be used in a criminal trial of me.
I want to take these kids to a warehouse.
Yes.
Jem Ralston, 2022.
So, just to check, Jem, there yes. will be responsible adults allowed into the warehouse as well, yeah?
Yes. Yes, there will be.
Okay.
Come on, kids, the tickets are free.
Well, it's kind of like if we've got a huge... budget.
I just want to point out, I'm pretty sure I've seen an upcoming horror film where the guy abducts kids using black balloons.
Jem, okay, first question. Why does it need to be in a warehouse? Why couldn't this be in a conventional, well-observed public theatre space?
I just explained that about how instinctively we're like, no, don't take kids into industrial places, don't take kids into warehouses. And like, we could turn the warehouse into like a really fucked up Kew Gardens, right, if we had the budget for it, so that you've got the plants and you've got the nature within this warehouse, but it is still oil slick, it is still covered in darkness, and that like the whole point is to yes, it's something that is sort of quite a wholesome experience for the kids, for them to learn about the environment and perseverance. But for any adult that is coming with them, and it is not a show where I'm like, oh yeah, this is babysitting for an hour for your kids. No, I want the parents to be there, because I want the parents to sit there and go, what the hell? This is not colorful. This is not in a safe space. This is wrong, and we should be trying to do something about it. But then sitting there going, well, you can't take your kid out of this because it's actually, you know, like it's talking about these wholesome things, and there's nothing, you know, and it's kind of like if you are made uncomfortable by it and you remove yourself and your child away from this, you are essentially saying that you're not going to take responsibility for the environment and the impact we're having on it. So there's like a whole social commentary that's very subtexty for adults just through the experience. But that doesn't filter down into the show. Like, that's all byproduct of the ghost that sits within the host of the warehouse, and you know what we see warehouses and the place of warehouses within our society. If we can make it a nuclear warehouse, even better. Just, you know, send it in Chernobyl or something.
I mean, she lost me when she was bringing nukes into it, but I get what she's trying. She's gonna put some nature in a warehouse, and it's gonna look really weird because of like, you know, it's a.
And it's I a did nat- just want to check. Yeah, you're not it, gonna actually it, yeah. be. You're not just gonna fuck up real plants, right? You're gonna get like plastic plants, yeah.
No, I've got amazing scenic artists as friends. I'm just gonna employ them.
Okay, cool. Just checking. Because it would kind of defeat the point of the show if you were just killing plants. Like,
he's nitpicking.
He is. He's panicking. He's panicking because he doesn't have an art.
That's what this bit is.
I think, Joe, you're just stalling for time because you're like, how can I make a children's show that's going to top Gem coaching kids into a darkened warehouse?
All right. Gemma, do you want me to jump in with my idea then?
Go for it.
So, I had considered at first playing off the fact that both the oil pollution on the island and the fact that the top of the page reads, this page's info box may require expansion, verification, or otherwise need cleanup. But then I thought to myself, we talked about climate change and stuff like that last week. So I didn't want to do another climate influencer.
You mean the week before?
Oh, I completely forgot about the week before. Oh, yeah, of course.
Clearly, Joe found last episode memorable.
That last episode was a classic, clearly, in my head. Either way, I didn't want to do two within the first four episodes. But, so instead, I thought I'd look at the fact that, I was thinking to myself, well, obviously, it has two names as an island, either Chikil or Oblivnoi. And Oblivnoi stood
out
to me.
Now I know Joe's secret that this is all bullshit and it's not rehearsed. I'm like, I see it's unveiled. I can never not now, like, I can never not see it.
Oblivnoi. I don't know whether this strikes everyone else, but that's not really Azerbaijani in dialect, but is more kind of within Russian.
Russian.
And when you look it up, Oblivnoi is the Russian word for pouring. So I thought it would be an interesting thing to
he just
do
put you
a
in
play,
your place, Gemma. He's like,
to do a play.
Mess with me, I know words.
Yeah, mate. Do a play exploring Azerbaijani-Russian relations. Because ever since they split from the Soviet Union, Azerbaijan has kind of had a... It's never quite poured over into anything as serious as like Russia, Georgia, but Azerbaijani-Russian relations aren't the best. So I thought it would be fun to do a play about the premise of it is Russia decides they are moving the Russian embassy to the island of Chikil. Because their idea is they want to make their embassy so inaccessible by putting it on an island off the coast that they don't have to deal with anyone from Azerbaijan.
Okay.
And it basically becomes this play about kind of this almost like a fish out of water thing of this group of Russians who've been tasked with setting up this new embassy, but doing so on a small island where the only other people are on the coast. And the only other things are for miles around are seals and birds. And it's just kind of, a light-hearted comedy with a focus on geopolitical relations in Eastern Europe.
Okay. So is it end on? Or
does it have a twist?
Does it have a twist? That's a good question. Well, let's talk about some more of what the very nature of a twist is.
Does it have a romantic subplot?
Sure, yeah. Go ahead. Fine.
What regional national theatre is this set in, Joe?
This is going to take place at a theatre in Leicester is where it's going to get its...
The Curve.
It's... Yeah. That'll do.
Okay. So is it like a farce? Is it a straight play? Or is it?
Yeah, I'm.
It's a murder mystery.
It's not a murder mystery, Sean.
No, it's just a language mystery because it's all in Russian.
I'm kind of thinking tonally, like I'm trying to think of a good example, but like, kind of almost maybe something closer to, I don't know, like say a kind of like a George Bernard Shaw, like a Pygmalion type of thing, whereby it's not quite all out farce. But it's kind of more good-natured than to be called a drama. You know, like, you get those kind of comedy dramas where it's more, like, amiable in tone than it is outright laugh-out-loud funny.
Yeah. Yeah, like, people who aren't funny trying to write a comedy. Got it.
Yeah.
Cool. What? I have experience, okay?
I know, that is the technical definition of a comedy drama, is a comedy that isn't funny. So.
Yeah.
Come at me, BBC.
I
by which I mean, please hire me.
I'm curious by it. I'm really curious by this idea. Mainly, I am wanting to try and figure out a way to pull it apart because I'm kind of like, the smush is saying a kid's car show, a kid's balloon interactive show, and Russian politics. and that makes me quite nervous.
Could we have like a Russian seal as the antagonist of my car competition?
Okay, what if a Russian man came and invited a load of children to a warehouse?
What if
there were cars and balloons?
Random Russian brought one of the teams in my TV, in my wacky races, so that his son could drive for him?
You know what? I feel like we've missed off one thing here,
crashing.
Which is, guys, are we cutting to the smush?
We are cutting to the smush. Yeah, we had cut to
we
the
haven't
smush.
Announced that we'd cut to the smush, though. We'd need to
we
announce
had
it.
It.
I
didn't know we announced that.
We do. We have segments now, Sean.
Do we?
Yeah, Sean, you got to learn the format points of this someday.
Oh, Joe, do we have like special jingles for cutting to the smush?
Well, if we do, you'll hear them now.
Cut point.
We won't know if they're there until we listen back to this podcast. Well, if we listen back to this podcast.
Which we will. Yeah, okay, so to smush them, so we've got cars.
Race cars.
We've got balloons and warehouses, both for children. All three of those things for children. And then we've got Russian politics. I think that there might be a stroke of genius in you saying we just make one of the characters Russian. And you know how in every kid's show there is like the element that is the adult serving element? You know, there's always that character that is making adult jokes that you don't realize as a kid. Maybe it's just Disney. But I think maybe that the Russian seal is definitely the talks to the audience more than to the kids character.
I sort of want to do Joe's like comedy drama as a racing competition, and we set it in an indoor goat karting that's in a warehouse.
Okay, that's far better than me. I was going to do, like, Space Jam, but, like, it's the Russian politicians coming to this island to encounter all of these talking animals that are puppets.
And we see the bits pre- and post-race, and then we also see them race, literally.
Yeah.
And some of them are Russian, Joe. I don't know.
I like this. Kind of like Cobra Kai.
I should keep that in the back pocket for the next time I want to do Starlight Express, but can't.
We should, yeah, no, but like, okay, no, so...
I think, considering we opened this series on me pitching Archie versus Predator in a paintball field, the natural progression of this is geopolitical wacky races in a go-karting arena.
Is this going to be the stag do season?
Yeah, this is the stag season. Yeah, what's next week? We're going up a notch. We're just taking it straight to the strip club next week.
Yeah,
we're off to Benidorm next week, guys.
Yeah, Joe, find us our article. Make it a good one.
Are we?
I think that's it. I think a geopolitical wacky races in a go kart rink. I think that is grabbing inherently what we all were talking about.
And if we want to throw in some more of yours, Gems, we can just put a load of black balloons around the go-karting arena.
Yeah. They can make... they're making, you know, like... If you're indoors, there might be electric cars, so we can make a big deal about the environment there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Sean, while I load up the randomizer on the online encyclopedia, do you want to tell us... where we can find Ofit D on the socials.
Do you think after that people will want her?
Yeah.
Right, guys. As you know by now, you can follow us on like all sorts of stuff. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And to find us, if you just go to Linktree /OFITD, that's where we are. And all of our stuff are there. And if you can't even be bothered to type that into your search bar, just like go to the description of this, wherever you're listening, wherever you're seeing, and I will make sure it's there. You just have to click on it and then you'll go click and you'll see like, oh, website. Oh, Ghost, Ghouls and Supernatural. Do you remember when you done that, Gem?
Yeah.
The Theatre Pitch podcast. This podcast, you'll use the link below to go to a link tree that will give you the link back here. And don't forget to like, share and subscribe. Now, if you thought that was great and you want more of me, you can follow me on Instagram at Still Shawnee B. And if you liked the other two people on this podcast, you can follow Gemma at where?
I'm loving how after how many years of friend, like literally a decade of friendship, my name's still not in your head. You can find me, Gemma, at OFITD underscore JEM. Gem. OFITD underscore Gem.
Great. Hey, and what about you, Joe?
And don't worry, Gem. I'm pretty sure just what happened was Sean forgot that the running order always goes him, Gem, and then me.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, but
well,
any chance.
You can do so at Not Joe Ranchka. That's NotJoeRanchka. And check out my link tree there to find out everything else I'm up to. But would you like to know what we're doing next week?
Yes.
I tell you now, if it's Benador, I swear to God, right, the podcast is ending on that episode, right, because we're not topping it.
Wait, that's weird. The next week's article is just lads on tour.
Lads on tour.
Nah, instead, it's HD 32188. I don't think I need to explain more.
Is that like a hard drive?
Is it a plane? Is it what Elon Musk called his kid?
I can tell you, Gem is closer.
HD32188
is a suspected variable star, which means a star that's brightness fluctuates when viewed from Earth, in the northern constellation of Auriga, and is positioned roughly in between Eta and Zeta Aurigae. It has a white hue and is just barely visible to the naked eye, with an apparent visual magnitude that fluctuates around 6.08. The distance to this star is approximately 3,000 light years.
I like stars. You know
when people like buy like people like, oh, I've bought you a star or I've bought you an asteroid for your birthday.
Yeah.
If someone done that for me and I was like, oh, brilliant, and I found out the star was called like HD 24678, I'd be like, our friendship is over. That's an awful name for a star. It's like it's a burning bit of gas in space.
It literally
and it's called HD. It's not even like 4K. It's HD.
Well, what did you think they were going to do? Call it like Brian Stag 2K21?
No, I don't know. Something Greek. Like... You know what I mean?
Something Greek, like Mamma Mia, here we go again.
I think if we started to try and name every star after something Greek, we'd end up just calling them, like, pizza.
Hang on.
No, Jem, we're not going to let you move on from just having said pizza's Greek.
You know that classic Greek dish, pizza?
My head went to Italy for some reason, because I'm thinking Roman. I'm tired. I've just pitched something that's going to end my career.
I don't understand where the Romans have come in.
I have no
idea. Romans didn't name the star.
And also, pizza isn't even Roman in heritage.
No, Italian.
Yeah,
Rome
but
is
it's
in
not
Italy.
Roman.
Yeah, but where have you got Italy from?
The Romans.
Okay, where have they come from? We're talking about a star. In space?
It's because it's either Roman or it's Greek, right? That's what the planets are, right?
Oh, that's where you've gone.
See, can you start to see the ADHD like links that like go out to HD110239 or whatever it's called
HD
back again?
HD11. My idea is going to be a competition to rename it.
And so that Jem can go and sleep. Thanks everyone for listening. And hey, pitch it out the park.
Oh, goodness, Joe.
That's the best one.